The Star Elders would keep their supremacy over the Earth's surface and skies, watching over soul evolution. This agreement provided a temporary peace for the biological and spiritual evolution to be carried on. During their colonization of the moon, the Ant People did with their technological science what they knew best, burrowing deep underground colonies and engineering new classes of hybrids and unseen life forms. Since almost all their laying queens had been annihilated, their natural reproduction potential was very weak. For the survival of their species, they started cloning themselves at large scale into an ever-growing number, as their main way of reproducing. Since the Ant People had a less developed individual consciousness, their collective soul got split into a multitude of fractions, diluting always more the individual self of the Ant People, slowly turning them into a species of biological drones. Over time, their individualities blended into their soul matrix, becoming like empty physical shells incarnated and animated by their collective will and interests, somewhat like remote control bodies. Chapter 38. Although the Ant People had learned through their long evolution how to adapt to the most hostile environments and atmospheric conditions, their new lunar environment posed several new problems. Its lack of breathable atmosphere and organic matter made it hard to sustain large biological colonies. They had to continuously carry water and food from the Earth, with all the efforts and risks involved. They were also gathering different DNA samples, since the moon couldn't provide any, and most of the collections they had stored in their DNA banks were from archaic insectoid, arthropod and arachnid stock, with which they had engineered their earliest and most primitive experimental forms of hybrids. It soon became obvious that the moon could not sustain their growing population of biological clones. For the survival of their species, the Ant People decided over time to devise some biosynthetic clones. The moon being rich in silica, they used this element found in profusion to engineer silicon-based life. As they were digging ever deeper and hollowing the moon's center, they used its very dust to construct silicon-based biosynthetic clones, through which their collective soul multiplied into more bodies. The biological Ant People hybrids had kept a hierarchic connection with their greater soul through their laying queens, whose decimation caused a major regression of their collective and individual consciousness. As the biosynthetic incarnation process of their soul took over the biological forms, their collective consciousness was gradually harnessed and stored into an artificial intelligence matrix. The Ant People who had kept incarnating in biological forms, remained in their bases under the Earth. The artificial reproduction of synthetic clones being fast, the moon rapidly became filled with them. Within a few millions of years, the moon became an empty hollowed-out shell, overpopulated with colonies of synthetic clones, with hardly any individual consciousness left, serving the colony's will. The new breed of cloned synthetic Ant People, seeking expansion for their fast-growing populations, then planned to reconquer the underworld from the Lower Lords and the Reptoids. The new silicon-based non-breathing synthetic life forms they had engineered were invulnerable to the powerful toxic insecticide gases and to much higher radiation levels than the biological Ant People could survive to. They engineered as a new weapon of mass destruction, gigantic insectoid and arachnoid synthetic life forms and proceeded in the mass production of those fast burrowing, jumping or flying killing beasts. They were in fact biosynthetic robots devised to invade and destroy the underworld, armed with potent toxic and electromagnetic weapons, armored to support powerful blasts, able to fight in dismembered pieces until their very end and destruction. This terrifying army had no individual soul, whatsoever. Although this whole operation was done in the deepest secret, under the surface of the hollow moon, it came to the knowledge of the Star Elders, who became concerned with the possible consequences of it. After negotiating and warning the Ant People, they imposed a no-fly zone around the moon, restricting the lunar populations of Ant People and their hybrids from flying off the lunar surface towards Earth. These new activities caught the attention of the Lower Lords in the underworld, who had kept watching. They discovered the plans of the Ant People to invade the underworld with their army of gigantic insectoid and arachnoid biosynthetic robots, and swore to abort them by destroying their moon bases. They launched massive nuclear strikes on the hollowed-out moon, causing its thin shell to collapse and the natural satellite that Earth had provided to implode and be turned into whirring clouds of debris. Chapter 39. This destruction of the moon caused the fourth mass extinction event and marked the end of the astral phase of creation of the individual self. It also caused the near extinction of the synthetic ant people, whose only survivors were the few who had time to fly off the moon before its final implosion crash. The rotation speed of the Earth was considerably slowed down, and with the dense shroud of debris increasing the atmospheric pressure to intense levels, filtering the sunlight, the temperatures dropped. The first global glaciation period started and extended over millions of years, forming polar ice caps. For the following ages, the surface of the Earth was darkened by the clouds of dust and debris, while meteorites showered and stones rained from the sky. Even with their protective magnetic shields, many of the intergalactic outposts of the Star Council suffered great damages and destruction, forcing the Star Elders to retreat into their subterranean quarters below their cities and centers, known as the Agartha. They took with them many of the forms of life and DNA codes on Earth, keeping them in safe care. On the surface, the densified atmosphere caused several species to evolve into developing wings to glide, and later to fly. Their scales turned into feathers over long, but accelerated genetic mutations. Thus, a new class of species gradually appeared, over the course of time. Birds dominated the fauna. The war of hybrids had taken proportions threatening all life and soul evolution on this planet Earth. As watchers of this world, the Star Elders could not maintain longer their position of non-intervention. The soul of Earth had been wounded and hurt gravely by her children, over their differences of forms. The collective consciousness learned that an extremely large diversity can cause divisions and wars. The evolution of consciousness required diversity, but the empathy between species had to be raised. The next phase of the evolution of spiritual consciousness on Earth needed to aim towards a greater empathy and compassion of the soul. Individual souls had to be guided along this process towards higher levels of understanding of the dharmic process of conscious karmic healing through compassion. Hence, this started the etheric phase of creation of the compassionate soul with the introduction of a new hybrid on this home planet to participate in this vast spiritual mission. Thus, the bird people were conceived and born, from various starseeds including from Sirius, Arcturus and other star systems. The bird people were conceived in the Agartha in the dark ages of the cosmic night, following the destruction of the moon, when the rains of brimstones and the choking dust clouding the sunlight made life on the hostile surface of the Earth hardly possible and sparsely distributed through isolated pockets. They are called the bird people because the earthly genetic material they carry came from birds. Living on the etheric level, they can manifest on the astral and physical planes, in different shapes and forms, but they most often appear with bird characteristics, generally feathered wings, having one or many pairs, or sometimes with bird heads. They were conceived with profound emotional sensitivity, to be highly empathic, feeling other souls through telepathic reading. Their spiritual mission consisted in guiding individual souls towards a greater empathy and compassion for their peers, as for other species and life forms. These guardian angels influence individual souls in their decisions through telepathy. Over time, this new breed of watchers brought a powerful spiritual upgrade to the collective spiritual consciousness. The winged etheric bird people have kept watching over this home planet and were known in your ancient cultures as angels. Most of them were to remain faithful to their spiritual mission, while a few of them would much later betray it, to fall under the control of the Archons. Chapter 40. After millions of years, the clouds of debris and dust shrouding the Earth slowly faded and vanished. The surface became again suitable for life's expansion and fruitful for many new species to develop. Some late meteorites would at times still hit, but the dark ages of the falling skies were over on Earth. For the following ages, The bird people worked closely with the lizard people and the star elders in the intergalactic centers, around the stargates, allowing selected evolved souls to incarnate on Earth. They took part in the spiritual education of the young incarnations, with their elder brother the lizard people, who had stayed aligned in the cosmic order, actively taking part in the Council of Star Elders. The first stages of the etheric phase of creation of the compassionate soul improved substantially the level of collective consciousness on Earth, with the development of empathy and compassion in intelligent species, as in all life forms. The intergalactic civilization and all life re-flourished on Earth. Meanwhile, the ant people, whose populations had replenished, had grown back to huge numbers. They could not find enough room in the few cities they had kept in the underworld, where they were restrained from expanding by the lower lords and reptoids. They could not either develop relatively risky underwater cities fast enough to host their rapidly increasing biological and synthetic populations. So they planned to rebuild an artificial moon, to replace the natural one where they had evolved. Since the Earth's gravitational field had increased since their destruction of the moon, pulling the thickened atmosphere into denser, heavier substances, the gravitational pull of a moon would improve the conditions for biological life, producing a higher, thinner atmosphere, and speeding up the Earth's rotation and life cycles. For these reasons, the Star Elders allowed the Ant People to build a new moon, for the continuity of their evolutionary process. It took thousands of years before the armies of synthetic Ant People complete the construction of the artificial moon, which is the same we see today. This is why you can observe sharp edges, geometric structures and signs of engineering on its surface. This is why it resonates like a belt of vibrations, its interior being hollow, made of vast open chambers. The condition given to the Ant People by the Star Elders Council for its construction was that they would never again produce threatening invasive species, nor plan another invasion anywhere on Earth. The Star Elders offered protection to the Ant People, as long as they would observe this covenant. This new situation ensured a relative peace and a high rate and level of spiritual evolution for many following ages on Earth. The intergalactic outposts of the Star Elders were care kept by the Lizard People and the Bird People. The latter also accompanied the growing populations of intelligent life, as they spread across this home planet, to populate every environment they could inhabit and develop. During that time, the lower lords in the underworld had lost their influence in interspecies affairs, their control being restricted to the populations of the many reptoid and insectoid hybrids they ruled. The basins of souls they had access to had been largely dissolved into many bodies, whose individual selves allowed a limited possibility of interactions and decisional power, an army of biological robots. The lower lords, also called Archons, planned to gain control over the stargates, in order to bring reinforcement from powerful souls of various star systems under their control. This started the wars of the stargates, which got the Earth involved into an intergalactic conflict for millions of years to come. Chapter 41. With all the millions of different, ever-transforming life forms on this home planet Earth, no limited mind could know or even imagine them all. If we were to learn about 200 new species every day, a century wouldn't be enough to cover all the species recorded by your limited science, amounting to a mere tenth portion of all existing species. This is without mentioning the even more numerous species that used to live on Earth, but have vanished long ago, mostly through mass extinction events. If we transpose this reality to an intergalactic scale, with the myriads of planets sparing biological life, the vast diversity of life forms inhabiting this whole omniverse is beyond all mind comprehension. It is impossible to know or to describe all forms of life, and it would not be necessary nor useful. All those infinitely diversified life forms serve but one purpose: the evolution of soul consciousness. The short-lasting biological incarnations are temporary vessels for the soul consciousness to evolve. They all are born, grow, age and die within a short span of time, to be then recycled by other life forms. Over ages, species transform, diversify, appear and go extinct, but all return to molecular stardust. From this universal perspective, physical life forms, species and individual incarnations are just stepping stones for the soul to carry on its growing, learning and healing journey through time-space, towards higher levels of consciousness. Their multitude and multiple various forms matter little in the bigger picture. It is their end and the greater purpose of their existence that gives significance to the whole process of biological incarnation, which is meant for spiritual consciousness to raise higher. Just like there are some universal laws ruling the physical dimension, like for instance, a molecule of carbon or oxygen looks alike anywhere is the universe, there are likewise universal spiritual laws. On the lower scales of the evolutionary process, the most primitive life forms with little or no individual consciousness of their departing souls returning to the greater soul of their species, to be recycled by it, much like drops of water blending in the sea, on the physical plane. When the souls develop an individual consciousness, they reincarnate in similar, or in more intelligent and sensible life forms. When the individual soul's emotional experience reaches empathy and compassion, their consciousness starts to understand intelligence and the spiritual meaning of life. As they rise into higher levels of consciousness, the compassionate souls are guided to use their incarnations for spiritual evolution. Along that path, they eventually learn that spiritual consciousness rises through healing karmic debts. On the highest levels of spiritual consciousness, reached by the most advanced souls and star elders, existence and its very purpose is devoted to spiritual evolution of the soul, by healing and solving all karmas, through the practice of Sanatanak Dharma, or the virtuous way of sanctification of the soul. In this universal consciousness, all souls are evolving and always offered help, regardless of their path. On the scales of the evolution of consciousness, some souls evolve and regress into nothingness, while others rise and grow into always higher levels of spiritual understanding. This ladder of the souls, or wheel of fortune, known as samsara or the wheel of karmas, keeps the balance and movement flowing between the material and spiritual planes. From a higher dharmic perspective, it is perfectly fit and functioning, maintaining the cosmic order in the omniverse. Expressing any fear, anger, judgment or hatred towards any other living beings or species only adds more weight to the karmic burdens that need healing. The masters of Dharma are continuously helping souls to heal and evolve. This is how our eldest elders reach immortality and a state of holiness, with universal consciousness. Chapter 42. In this perspective of eternity and universal consciousness, recalling the past events and the different species or hybrids involved serve but one purpose, the understanding of the evolution of consciousness. Intelligence and spiritual understanding have evolved on this home planet since long before your time. When the Ant people rebuilt the actual moon we see, they made it of similar proportions to the first natural moon that had been destroyed, but they devised it to be 400 times smaller than the sun and set it 400 times closer, so that it would fit perfectly its diameter during eclipses. This coded message for any intelligence was to remember the Ant people as the first civilization on Earth. It explains why this perfect ratio is nowhere else to be found in our solar system, nor in any other. After having survived three mass extinction events, with each time the near disappearance of their lineage, the Ant people had learned about the fragility of life. They had learned too that overpopulating their environments caused a threat to themselves, so they slowed down their reproduction rate by much. They understood also that without the protection of the Star Elders, they would have been destroyed. Since they shared a common soul centered in their matrix, they could each be turned into emissaries. For these reasons, in spite of their artificial way of reproducing through biosynthetic clones, during the etheric phase of creation of the compassionate soul, the Ant people's consciousness evolved and realigned with the cosmic order, respecting their covenant of planning no invasion nor building weapons of mass destruction. For the third time, the Ant people were readmitted in the Star Elders' Council, who always offer new opportunities for any species or souls to readjust their behaviors. Meanwhile, the lower lords ruling in the underworld over always growing populations of reptoid and insectoid hybrids, had limited access to new souls, causing the soul basin to split into weaker selves. They started building stargates to import powerful souls from faraway star systems they controlled. But from the surface, these stargates in the underworld could be detected and their wormholes deactivated, interrupting any transfer or migration through them. The Star Elders Council could not let any additional forces join the armies of the lower lords in the underworld, nor let them use stargates. Since the Archon lower lords did not have the numbers nor the powers to match that of the Star Council, they realized quickly after a few vain and failed attempts to conquer some intergalactic outposts that they could not confront the Star Elders in a direct fight. So they flew to the next planets in our solar system, Mars and the planet that was later turned into the asteroid belt, and they established bases there. There was water and life on an elementary level on those planets. They built stargates to import souls. Thus started the War of Stargates, which spread through our solar system and involved many galaxies. The Earth was itself part of a much larger battlefield, in an intergalactic war fought by the Archons and their powers for the domination of several star systems. The Star Elders also established outposts on Mars, to prevent the lower lords from dominating that living planet. But on the next planet, known as Malkut, Maldk, Apollyon or by different other names, the Archon lower lords kept their domination. The escalation stretched over millions of years, as more and more entities from other dimensions were incarnating on those two planets of our solar system, through the stargates of the lower lords. The fights between patrolling starships and intruders became more frequent and more violent, as the Archon lower lords were building powerful star fleets on their newly conquered planets, planning their conquest of the Earth. The War of Stargates reached its climax with the aborted invasion of our Earth. Chapter 43. Meanwhile on Earth, the intergalactic civilization had developed and inhabited all parts of the globe. The lizard people and the bird people were the caretakers of the highest civilization ever on Earth. They had domesticated many species of large dinosaurs that they could ride and fly on, or harness and use in construction or agricultural large-scale works. The spiritual centers where the Star Elders visited were used for the education of the populations, and the maintaining of the cosmic order through developing higher levels of consciousness and healing energies, with sacred vortices and ceremonies. After some millions of years of planning, preparations, and training through guerrilla warfare, the lower lords launched a massive invading army from Apollyon to Earth, with at its head, a gigantic artificial moon serving as mother ship. The Star Council prepared to face the forces and protect Earth. The first attack consisted in nuclear strikes against the moon, in an attempt to destroy once more the Neveraljic home base of the Ant People. But remembering the previous destruction of their moon home base, they had conceived their new satellite with reinforced structures able to resist several blasts, until the Star Council fleets could push back the attacking armies, protecting the moon and all life on Earth. We can still see today on the moon's surface the traces of those nuclear strikes and the craters formed. The mothership artificial moon of the Archons was bigger in size and its surface made exclusively of metals, as opposed to the Ant People's moon, which they coated with thick layers of silica dust or soil. The newly arrived satellite in Earth's orbit came to a dangerous distance, to appear immense and hide the sky and much of its sunlight, even over some intergalactic outposts. It terrorized life on Earth with loud sounds and powerful magnetic waves, causing cataclysms and panic, while connecting the newly arrived troops with the armies of the lower lords guarding the underworld. This highly critical situation threatened all spiritual evolution on Earth, if it was to fall under the Archon's domination. In order to save life and the spiritual consciousness on Earth, the Star Elders Council had no choice but to eliminate the invading forces. After some formal warnings, as it always is part of the Dharmic Protocol, and refusal from the invaders to negotiate, the Star Elders Council concluded that to destroy the artificial moon mothership would cause less risk to Earth than to let it float over and interfere. But to blow it up would cause much more damages than to crash it over the main underworld bases. With technologies that can create, partition, or destroy worlds, the Star Elders Council caused the artificial moon of the Archons to crash where the main headquarters of the underworld were centered. This gigantic cataclysm in the eastern part of what you now call the North Atlantic Ocean, caused the fifth mass extinction event, with the near disappearance of most species of dinosaurs and saurians. All land masses were projected outward at high speed, colliding with each other in eruptions and quakes. This intervention aborted the attempt of the Archons to invade Earth, but they still had large and fast-growing populations on planet Mauld Kor Apollyon, that were supplied with new forces through their star gates. The Star Elders knew that it was a matter of time before the Lower Lords would reform a new army, likely more powerful, for a new invasion. In order to save the solar system from this darker fate, they had to eliminate the stargates and armies of fallen souls, constantly building up in a larger threat. They took a grave and rare decision in the annals of the universe, to destroy a planet with life in order to save a solar system's spiritual consciousness. With technologies only known to them, the Star Elders Council sacrificed the planet Apollyon, which exploded and turned into the actual asteroid belt. Chapter 44. As we speed up in this brief general overview of the very long story of our home planet Earth, we realize that this whole process of co-creation and evolution of life is for spiritual consciousness to arise. The Star Elders Council will not interfere in local planetary affairs unless life and the spiritual consciousness is dangerously threatened and at great risk. If they conclude that their intervention is the only solution required to save a world from invading powers, their common wisdom agrees on action. When they opted for crashing the artificial moon of the Archons, they knew it would cause a mass extinction, which was already started by the invasion, but aborting the invasion would cause less harm. For this reason, they also destroyed the planet Apollyon soon after, while the Earth was already suffering from mass extinction, in order to favor its recovery and avoid another fatal massive death. Its explosion caused extensive meteorite showers that reached the Earth over an extended period, making its surface hazardous for life. These impacts and the clouds of dust they created also caused the atmosphere to darken and filter the sunlight, causing another age of glaciation and colder weathers. The Star Elders retreated to their underground caves in Agartha, as many of their cities were obliterated. At the end of the War of the Stargates, the threat of massive invasion in our solar system had vanished. The soul of the Earth had experienced the threats and dangers of being subdued by outside alien forces. The collective consciousness learned that compassion involves protecting weaker souls and species. The bird people had been conceived to be emotionally sensitive, to feel empathy and compassion. There needed to be a new kind of Earth-bound hybrid that could live on this home planet and protect it. They needed to be highly developed spiritually, with great psychic powers and physical strength. They had to be adaptable to all conditions, able to fight off dangerous powers, and love and protect all life. This was to start the causal phase of creation of the soul protecting life and spiritual consciousness. In other words, this phase was to bring earthly intelligence to join with the Watchers of the Star Council. Its purpose was to raise collective spiritual consciousness to the understanding of Dharmic evolution. Life forms on Earth evolved to adapt to colder climes, developing hot-blooded species with fur coats. Species of the class of mammals started multiplying and covering the Earth with growing diversity. After many millions of years, out of those hundreds of thousands of species of mammals, one of the most evolved, intelligent and adapted was a type of giant lemurs, which was selected for a new hybrid. With DNA star seeds from our star elders from the Pleiades, as well as from the Great Bear, where a similar species to ours had been living, adding the unknown gene to our DNA that your scientists can't understand, my Sasquatch people were conceived and created in the underground temples of Agartha. You know us as Sasquatch, from the language of your Salish tribe who has continued knowing us, but my hairy people was known by many other names then, as it has been since. We are the mammal people.